Blog Talk Radio.
And all my football exclusive.
Playoffs? Oh, yes, it's playoffs. Time for the Fantasy Football Playoffs with Fantasy Football Insiders. I am Rostradamus, Ross Mandel, joined by the good Reverend Ralph Mancini. Ralph, say what's up, playoff boy.
What up, what up?
Exactly. Well, we're going to go around the league. For those of you in the playoffs, congratulations. For those of you on the outside looking in, we'll still entertain you. 2 hours commercial free here. Fantasy Football Insiders. And Rev, before we dive into this week's games, a little instability in the AFC after Thursday night's game. Ben Roethlisberger banged up, his ankle folded over, seen walking around in a boot. I don't know. Status iffy for next week's Monday night tilt against the Niners that we're all looking forward to. You hearing anything? Is he going to play or not? What do you think?
Well, the good thing about this injury is that he's got extra time to rest. But, you know, it's got to concern you. I mean, even if he makes it through next week's game, I mean, he still has to play. Obviously, they're a playoff team. He's got a long way to go as far as this season is concerned. Look, if anybody can do it, if anybody can play through pain, it's Ben Roethlisberger. And the thing with him is that he's not only playing with that bad ankle, he's also playing with a bad thumb as well. So it's got to concern you. It's got to concern you for the long term. Look, they can go out and they could beat San Francisco. Maybe they could just focus on the running game, play it conservatively. They have a ton of weapons in that offense, and their defense is pretty solid as well. But, you know, if I were a Steeler fan, the thing I'd be concerned about is, you know, how long can this last? Even if he plays through this 49ers game, I mean, how is his ankle and how is his thumb going to hold up? How are these things going to hold up throughout the playoffs if I'm seriously thinking about them making a Super Bowl run this year?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is really a team that's thinking, well, we need to make the Super Bowl or it's not going to be a successful season. And a high ankle sprain, 10 days is not enough time for that, especially when you're going against one of the top defenses in the league. It's a tough one, man, and, you know, the thumb adds to it. As for the game itself, I don't know that we really learned anything other than Cleveland's offense is atrocious. Well, we already knew that. James Harrison, in my opinion, should be suspended. I love the guy, but that was out-and-out dirty. And just another example of why the NFL should go to my soccer yellow-red card system there, Rev. If you get enough yellow cards, you get suspended for a game. And to me, Harrison's, what, sixth personal foul, sixth finable offense? The guy should miss a game, in my opinion. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that was a pretty nasty hit. I mean, if you saw the play, I mean, there was no reason for him to go that as hard as he went after Colt McCoy. But, you know, with this set, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to ask, was there a reason for McCoy to come right back into the game after missing a play?
No, there wasn't. And the kid wasn't in his right mind. He didn't know what was going on. And I think it was up to the doctor. You know, and you really can't even blame the coaching staff. It's the medical staff that should have stepped in, should have said, hey, listen, you know, let this kid rest. We need to take a look at him or whatever. But you got to blame it on the doctors there because, you know, the coaching staff, well, I mean, what do they know about concussions? What do they know about a lot of things that go on out there from a health standpoint? And that's why they have a medical staff out there. So I think it's completely on them.
I agree with you, and I think sometimes the coaching staff can sort of intimidate the medical staff. You know, if you're the medical staff and you're quick to tell them that the guy should not go back into the game, I don't know how much longer you're going to be on the medical staff. But again, it's their responsibility to say, look, you know, it's a maybe, therefore he can't go back in and play. If you're not sure, you got to err on the side of caution there. Clearly, McCoy was dazed and confused, who, by the way, is in the chat room today. Good morning to you. But I didn't like what I saw out of the medical staff there, and I didn't like what I saw from Roethlisberger after the game. I mean, to me, that's more than 10 days, and he's not going to have the adrenaline of being in a game situation as he did Thursday night to get him through all the pain and the injury. And, you know, they'll shoot him up. and they'll throw him back in there because it's a huge game and it's a Monday night game and it's an interconference game and people are going to be mentioning, ooh, possible Super Bowl preview, which I don't see happening on the Niners' end, but that's another story. But I don't know. Right now, I'd say it's 50-50. You know, as the week goes on, we'll see if he practices at all. But Steelers did manage to win the game, put a little pressure on Baltimore, keep the heat on the Jets as far as making the playoffs this year goes. But I'll tell you, there's a team in the Northeast who's probably pretty pleased that Pittsburgh's in a tough situation, and that's the New England Patriots, and they're the first game we're going to cover this week. And we'll talk a little bit about our guy, Fred Davis, being suspended for the rest of the season because he's too stupid to avoid using certain substances during the lockout. But, you know, Tom Brady's the guy here, and the Skins' pass defense has been pretty poor of late. You know you use Brady. You know you use Gronkowski. Is there any doubt that he and Welker are going to put up numbers? You know, Welker's got back-to-back games over 100 yards. They're both going to score in this game. As far as the Redskins go, I think it's Roy Helu again. You know, he was productive against Seattle and the Jets, both of whom have pretty solid run defenses and run defenses that are better than New England, who's ranked number 10. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, you know, he scored for me last week. Didn't gain a lot of yards, didn't have a lot of carries. 6 carries for 14 yards. Thankfully, he did score. I wouldn't worry about it this week. The Skins have given up 5 rushing touchdowns in the last 4. A lot of injuries in that New England backfield all of a sudden. Danny Woodhead, Vereen. I think Green-Ellis is the goal line back. He is the guy who's going to get the carries. So I think you feel free to use him this week. Don't be nervous about last week's lack of production. The dud this week to me is Deion Branch. The guy is just not reliable. You know, he's behind Welker. He's behind both of the tight ends. That's a long way to go. I'd avoid him if you have an option like an Eric Decker or a Nate Washington. I think there's more upside there. And, you know, people, don't get cute with Fred Davis out. Don't go picking up Logan Paulson and thinking he's going to put up numbers anywhere near the tight end numbers that Fred Davis did for the Redskins. Just because he's in for the guy doesn't mean he's going to produce. With Trent Williams suspended also, not that he's a world beater, but I think Paulson's going to have to stay in and block a lot. Not a lot of tight end passing targets for the Skins in this game. The sleeper here to me is Santana Moss. He's going to have a much easier time than he did last week, and he had 5 catches last week, so I think he can build on that. The rust is gone. So is New England's secondary. They got nothing back there. I think Moss is a safe play as a number 2 wide receiver this week. I see him coming up with something around 60, 70 yards and maybe a touchdown. I think this game's a little closer than New England would want it, but they're going to win with not a lot of sweat. I have New England winning this game 33-21, Rev. You think your buddies in the AFC East there have an easy time?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, the Patriots are going to give up a lot of yards to any offense out there. I mean, their defense isn't a shutdown, lockdown type of defense. They're more of a bend but don't break type of unit. But I think they will do enough. They will cause some turnovers, and I think they win this game 30-17.
Yeah, that's about right. Well, that's disappointing news for those at MetLife Stadium today, Rev, and fill us in on what's going on with the Tyler Palcos against your Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how the Jets lose this game, but my stud here is Sean Green. He's been inconsistent. He's not the workhorse he's been advertised as, but he came alive last week with 3 touchdowns, 88 rushing yards. But what was equally impressive was the fact that he also had 26 receiving yards, and you really never expect that from him. So I say look for the Jets to lean on Green as they comfortably control this game versus a Chiefs team that has allowed 10 touchdowns to opposing backs. I say the former Iowa Hawkeye is good for at least 1 score here. I think this is a good week to start Dustin Keller. Now, he's another guy that's unpredictable for the most part. But KC does a poor job of defending tight ends. Scott Chandler, Rob Gronkowski, Anthony Fasano have all scored multiple touchdowns versus KC, and Keller is a better player at home where he scored 4 times already. And the dud here is Dwayne Bowe. It really doesn't matter, you know, if the quarterback is Kyle Orton or, you know, tomato can Tyler Palco. Look, Bowe's going to have a tough time this week. he's had some decent outings, even with Palco in there recently in terms of yardage numbers, but he's also gone 7 games without a touchdown now, and there's a good chance that he extends that streak to 8 games versus Darrell Revis. The sleeper here, if you're really in a pinch, Mark Sanchez. I mean, you could do a lot worse, in my opinion, this Sunday. I think Mark Sanchez obviously is a better player at home, and as a matter of fact, he's been good for at least 17 fantasy points in 6 games at MetLife Stadium. And despite Kansas City's 7-sack outburst versus Chicago last Sunday, the Chiefs really don't possess a good enough pass rush to make you worry about Sanchez in this game. I like the Jets here, 27-6.
Yeah, the similar score, 23-7. Rev, speaking of the Jets and the Chiefs, let's talk about the quarterback situation as far as both teams have going forward. First of all, your team, the Jets, I mean, I know you don't have much of a choice, but are you confident now that Sanchez is the guy, or is it possible that the team look in another direction, at least as far as a competent backup goes?
Well, yeah, that goes without saying. They need to get a competent backup because, I mean, there are going to be games out there where, you know, Sanchez just throws the ball to the other team, and there are going to be games out there where, you know, he just looks like he's he just loses confidence. I think for the long haul, I think he should be okay as long as they play good defense and they have a solid running game. I mean, you got to give him credit for one thing. You know, when the chips are down or they need to score in the fourth quarter, this kid usually gets the job done. But, yeah, they do need a good backup quarterback because there are going to be games when, you know, you're just going to want to take him out. And even if it's for a few plays, just to calm him down sometimes. And right now, you know, we talked about this before. They have nothing right now with Mark Brunell. He's a coach. He's not a player. So they definitely need to and actually, they did draft somebody who's pretty decent, in my opinion, a guy with some potential as a backup in Greg McElroy. Unfortunately, he got hurt. So I think that they got something there with this kid, Greg McElroy, and I'll be very interested to watch him play once again during the exhibition season next summer.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but, you know, and it's interesting because I think a guy like Sanchez, I think he'd play better if they got someone in there that was an actual threat to his playing time. I don't mean someone as good as him. I'm not saying to waste a first or second round pick on a quarterback, but I think a guy like Sanchez needs to be motivated by having a guy in there who, you know, could create a little bit of a stir should he not play well. And it's too easy for Jet fans, and believe me, we read it every weekend with the media here, to blame, you know, the offensive coordinator Schottenheimer and Sanchez for everything that's going wrong with the Jets. And, you know, Schottenheimer's probably going to be a casualty if the Jets don't make the playoffs. And to me, I think they have to win out to make the playoffs, which is kind of scary that 11 is what's going to get you in. But, I mean, it's too easy to just blame Schottenheimer. And Sanchez. I mean, I think there's a lot more going on with the Jets as far as the offense is concerned. And we'll see what happens in the offseason, but I don't think you just wave a magic wand and get rid of Schottenheimer and all of a sudden the Jets are a juggernaut offense. You think he's going to go? Schottenheimer?
You know something? I've never been a big Schottenheimer fan. You know, I don't see any consistency with his play calling from week to week. You know, I don't know what he's good at. I don't know what his philosophy is. I don't know. I think that if they don't make the playoffs, I think there's a very good chance that he doesn't stick around. But, you know, it seems like people in the organization really like him, obviously. I mean, the guy's been there since the Eric Mangini days. So the guy's he's built up some good credit there with the Jets. But, yeah, personally, look, hey, if they don't make the playoffs, I mean, somebody's going to have to bite the bullet here. Somebody's going to have to go, and it's not going to be Rex Ryan.
No, it's definitely not. And, you know, before the season, we had a little debate going on as far as the wide receiver swap that the Jets had, and must have been a little irritating to see Jericho Kotry score a couple of touchdowns, including one Thursday night for the Steelers, when essentially the Jet wide receivers had been relatively disappointing. I know Burris has scored his share of touchdowns, but I'll tell you, man, every week, Santonio Holmes, he just doesn't do anything. I think
that's not always his fault, though. I mean,
no,
the guy's
absolutely
been
not.
The quarterback doesn't always see him.
It's the coaching staff,
and it's the quarterback, too, at times, where, you know, you see Santonio Holmes just streaking across the middle, wide open, putting his hands up, and the quarterback just doesn't hit him.
Agreed. And, I mean, what good are weapons if you don't use them? That's for Kansas City. I mean, you know, Matt Cassel not healthy, obviously, not a lot going on in the backup situation. Is it time for them to get a new quarterback?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you know, look, if you're counting on Matt Cassel coming back and being that guy that's going to lead your team to the playoffs, I mean, I know that he did last year, but let's not forget, Kansas City had a ridiculously easy schedule last year. And we saw that, you know, Matt Cassel, even if he leads your team to the playoffs as a 9-7 or 10-6 team, he's not good enough to count on in the postseason where he's playing against teams like the Ravens and teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers, so on and so forth. So, yeah, to me, it's they have to get another quarterback in there. And they have to get – I would like to get a young guy. I would like to groom him, but they have to bring in another quarterback.
I'll tell you, they slide far enough down and lose enough games from here to the end. They could replace one USC quarterback with another if Matt Barkley is available, and you put him in there, a healthy Jamaal Charles, I don't know. It could be a quick offensive turnaround. I don't know that they'll be able to grab Barkley because they already have 5 wins, but it would be interesting to see if that happens, and I agree with you. I think they definitely need to upgrade, and let's transition from the talk about the AFC East to talk about playoff football and fantasy down in Jersey. What's going on, 609?
Yo, my New York, New Jersey brothers from Three Mothers in the playoffs in both my leagues. Got some questions. The usual question I've been having. In my PPR league, do I go with V-Jax, who you never know what he's going to do? Do I take Jordy? I can score some touchdowns at home, Nelson. Or do I go Marcus? I'm not sure if I'm going to see the end zone, Colston. PPR
use
league.
One of those guys?
Do what?
Can use one?
Yeah, because I got my boy Calvin Johnson starting, man. You can't bench Calvin.
Okay.
So this is the league where you get the PPR. If you get 100 yards, you get 5 more bonus points, point for every 10 yards. Who do you like, man? Right now it's between, I think, Nelson and Colston, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, between Nelson and V-Jax, but you guys tell me which one of those three do you like.
I got to tell you, I like Vincent Jackson out of these three. I don't trust in Colston to produce for me on a weekly basis. And I don't know that the Packers are going to be firing on all cylinders against a pretty punchless offensively Raiders team. And, you know, it's exactly what the Chargers do. They lose enough to be out of it, and now all of a sudden they're going to start playing well and just miss the playoffs, and everyone's going to say, oh, you know, they came so close. It's not going to save North Turner, as far as I'm concerned. But look, you know, Philip Rivers looked like the Philip Rivers, all fantasy owners who are probably out of the playoffs because of him. He looked like the guy they thought he was against Jacksonville. And everyone can say, oh, it's only Jacksonville. But that team plays the pass pretty well. Buffalo, man, they're dreadful against the pass. They've lost some games in a row, going across the country. I like Vincent Jackson today an awful lot, Rev. I don't know if you agree with me on that pick there.
I like him a lot as well, and I have a really hard time sitting Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
But I mean, that Bills secondary is just a joke. I mean, some of the guys they have running out there, even when they're at full strength, they're pretty bad. And that's again, going to be the case this week. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Vincent Jackson. And look, you know, you mentioned the Chargers, you know, now all of a sudden winning. And it's a different thing when you're playing without pressure. You know, now really nobody expects anything from the San Diego Chargers. So, you know, now that they're playing at home versus a bad defense, they should be able to roll in this game. And I expect Vincent Jackson to play. And you know what helps Vincent Jackson, too, is
Malcolm
the return
Floyd.
Of Malcolm Floyd. That really helps that whole offense, and it helps Vincent Jackson get open as well. So, yeah, I like Vincent Jackson this week.
All right, Jersey, what else you got?
Last one I got, I played my boy Spiller last week. I kind of got Spiller because, you know, Sean Green went off last week, but I don't see Sean Green going off again this week. I could be wrong. And that seemed like PPR league, 10-point rushing touchdown, point for every 10 yards, 100 yards, you get 5 bonus points too. You like CJ? I might get it done this week, Spiller, or do you take Sean? I don't know if I'm going to score a touchdown again, Green.
Go ahead, Rev.
Well, if you're looking for touchdowns, I know it's a PPR league. If you're looking for touchdowns, I think Sean Green probably gives you the better chance to score. I don't see why the Chiefs should be able to stop that New York Jets running game. And Sean Green is even catching some passes as well. Had 26 yards in receptions last week. CJ Spiller, I guess he's a nice flex type of back, but I mean, I don't know. I need to see more from him. I feel a little bit safer with Sean Green than I do with CJ Spiller.
I think that's a good way to sum it up. I would go with Green as well. Just because, look, if one of these guys is going to score 2 touchdowns, to me, I think it's going to be Green. I like what I saw from Spiller, and frankly, they don't have a lot else other than Stevie Johnson going on there in Buffalo. And to me, they're going to be down 10, 14 points early. A lot of dump offs from Ryan Fitzpatrick to Spiller. So you're going to get some receptions. I don't know that you're going to get any scores, and I'm pretty confident that Sean Green's going to put at least 1 in today. So, you know, it's closer than you would think, but I would still go with Sean Green.
All right, that's what I'll do. And then my last question, in my other league, I have Stevie Johnson in there now, and I have Miles Austin. I do have Macklin, but Macklin could be downgraded. They're not sure what's going on. But if those three are playing in a standard league, which of those three, which 2 do you like of those 3?
Well, I wouldn't mess with Macklin. He got downgraded to questionable, and I just don't see it this week for him. Miles Austin out for a while. Coming back this week, I think he's missed, 4 games? That's
right.
A question mark. And you know, Stevie Johnson's really, he's the main guy in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a matter of, do you need to take a risk? Because
yeah,
the Giants secondary is pretty poor. And it wouldn't surprise me to see Miles Austin come back and contribute immediately. But if you need the safer bet, I think Johnson's pretty safe for 65, 75 yards and a score, whereas Austin could go anywhere from, you know, 2 catches for 10 yards to 6 catches for 87 yards and 2 touchdowns. You just don't know how healthy he is. If you need
right.
to take a risk, I'd play Austin. If not, I'd go with Johnson. I wouldn't play Macklin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So out of those 3, I need 2, so go with Austin and
I would. I would leave Macklin on the
bench. Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's what I'll do. Thanks, guys. Hey, me and Junior are both in the playoffs, different divisions, so both my teams are in. So hopefully I'll be talking to you guys next week, 1 week or another. I appreciate your help.
All right. Represent, go 2-0 for us, buddy. Let's stick on the phone lines. We got 3-1-3 on the line. What's going on in the playoffs, man?
Gentlemen, is winner going home?
There we go.
Yeah. Okay, real quick, in one league, I have a open flex spot, and I'm smoking it over with Miles Austin, DeSean Jackson, and Toby Gerhart. It's a PPR. After 5 receptions, you get 2 points.
So you need one of those guys?
Yeah.
Well, with Gerhart, you're hearing that Adrian Peterson's a game-time decision. I mean, you don't know. I guess they're going to work him out right before the game to see how he's doing. But, I mean, you would think it's like, you know, what's the reason to play Adrian Peterson if you're a 2-win team, if he's really still banged up? So, to me, it comes down to, let's see, DeSean Jackson, Austin, Gerhart. You know something? I would go with Gerhart if Adrian Peterson's not playing. I would go with Gerhart here.
I agree with you, Rev. And in fact, if Gerhart plays, you talk about points per reception, he could very well end up with the most receptions out of that group.
Possibly.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's risky going the other way. Austin, again, it's going to be feast or famine. He could end up, oh, two catches. Oh, you know, I don't feel completely healthy. They take him out of the game. I don't want that to happen in the fantasy playoffs. But, again, as Rev said, if Peterson's going to play, I don't see why they'd play him, but it is Minnesota, so you don't know. If he does play, that diminishes Gerhardt significantly, obviously, and I would avoid using him. So just pay attention to the injury report. If Peterson doesn't go, I think you use Gerhardt for sure.
Okay. And so in another league, it is it's a point three, so it's you get a point for every three receptions. And I have an open flex spot where I could go and get Donald Brown, Ryan Grant, but I have Julio Jones and DeSean Jackson ready to go. So who do you think out of those four?
Ooh, I kind of like Julio Jones today, not that much, but boy, oh boy, it's tough to recommend Ryan Grant. And who's the other guy?
Donald Brown. I can go get Donald Brown. I can fill that spot with a running back, but the only options I have are Ryan Grant and Donald Brown.
So it's Brown, Grant, or Julio Jones?
And Jackson.
Man, I don't like DeSean Jackson today. I'll tell you what. I know Donald Brown's probably going to see probably the majority of the carries, but I don't like who he's playing. And I do kind of like the situation in Atlanta. I mean, until they stop throwing the ball too much, I have no problem recommending Julio Jones, Rev. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you would have to think about Grant, but the guy's done nothing all year, you know, and I until I see something out of him, I can't go with him. I can't put him in the starting lineup. So by default, I would have to go with Julio Jones.
Yeah, Grant to me looks shot, and I wouldn't be surprised if Sain got more touches today than Grant. I feel pretty safe using a healthy guy who's been productive pretty much all season, and that's Julio Jones to me.
Okay. So what I'll do, gentlemen, is I'll give you guys a call next week and let you know how it turns out. I'm really confident. I'm liking all the rest of my plays, and so these are just the final tweaks of a strong team, so not too many concerns. So I'll let you know what happens next week.
All right, sounds good, man. Look forward to hearing from you next week. Good luck. All right, one more phone call, Rev, then we'll get back to the game. To the chat room, 707 playoffs. What's going on?
Not much, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I got a couple of questions for you. They're pretty much C.J. Spiller questions. I got C.J. Spiller or Morris, thinking that Kevin Smith's not going to play.
Yeah, Smith's probably not going to go today. Rev, what are your thoughts about Mo Morris today?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Maurice Morris, I mean, yeah, I mean, he can get you some touches there. I don't know. I don't know if I can rely on him. I think I'd rather go with C.J. Spiller here. I think C.J. Spiller is the better player. I know that the Bills shouldn't have any problems moving the ball against the San Diego Chargers. The San Diego Chargers defense does not scare me at all. So I'll go with C.J. Spiller here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and agree. I think it's going to be very close. But I have more faith in Spiller to be able to bust out a reasonably big play than I do Maurice Morris. And, you know, there's a lot of weapons to go around in Detroit. There aren't so many to go around in Buffalo, so I'm going to go with Spiller here, too.
Okay. Next one, C.J. Spiller or Bradshaw, PPR again?
I don't like Ahmad Bradshaw today. I mean, the Giants, I think, are going to get away from running the football because both their running backs are a little dinged up. And I kind of didn't like what I saw against Green Bay as far as Bradshaw is concerned. I know he didn't get hurt. And I know it was, you know, put his toe back in the water as far as coming back from an injury. But I didn't really like what I saw. And I think Brandon Jacobs is taking a few carries away. Whereas, again, Spiller really one of the only two options they have in Buffalo, so I'm going to go with Spiller again. Rev?
Okay. I'll go with Spiller. I like the matchup too much there.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, how about last one, guys? Laurent Robinson or Santonio Holmes? Again, PPR.
Yeah, this one was in the chat room, and I threw an answer out there. Go ahead, Rev.
I'll go with Laurent Robinson just because the Cowboys are going to need to air it out today, whereas the Jets, you know, they might be up, you know, 14, 16, 17, nothing in this game, and they might not need to do much more than that to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, the only caveat I'd throw in there is wait as long as you can to find out if Robinson's healthy. You'd hate to start him and then at 8 o'clock find out he's not going to play or he's going to be very limited. But, look, you know, Holmes to me today is in for a 3-catch, 35-yard day, and Robinson could do that in one play. So I'd go with Robinson in that. That game's going to be an absolute shootout. Both secondaries are terrible. They're going to be throwing all night. So I'd go with Robinson if he's going to play.
Now, is that the – what time is it? Is that the night game or is that
– The Giants are Sunday night. Yes, Giants
Sunday
Cowboys.
Night.
Yeah. Okay. All right, guys. Hey, thanks a lot for your help. Good luck in your leagues. Hope everybody wins. Happy holidays.
You got it.
All
you
right,
too.
Thank you.
No, Rev, it's very interesting. We were on that Laurent Robinson bandwagon last year, and then we had to get off because he just wasn't seeing time. But who thought at the beginning of this season that Laurent Robinson and C.J. Spiller would be fantasy playoff factors? I mean, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, Laurent Robinson always had the talent, and he showed flashes in the past. I remember a few years ago, maybe it was 2 or 3 years ago, he started off like gangbusters
yeah.
with the Rams 1 year, and then again he got hurt, and that's been his problem. He's always found a way to get hurt in his first few years, and then finally this year, you know, either through good training or through some more experience, more knowledge, he's been able to stay healthy on the field, and you see that when this guy is in one piece, that this guy could be a very, very productive player.
Yeah, it is interesting sometimes how these guys, and I'm not saying this is what happens, but it's interesting how these guys stay healthy when they're on a playoff contending team, and when they're on a bad team, all of a sudden they're hurt. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but it does happen. All right, Rev, time for some chat room. America's guest, welcome aboard again. In a PPR league, he needs 3 of the following, so I'm assuming it's sit 1. He's got Michael Bush against the Packers, Lamont Murray against the Giants, C.J. Spiller at San Diego, Santana Moss against New England. Oh, I'm sorry. And he also has Ryan Grant against Oakland. He needs 3 of those.
Yeah.
And he has Adrian Peterson. So if Peterson goes, he only needs 2. So let's give him 3 here. Bush, Murray, Spiller, Moss, Grant.
Yeah, you bench Grant here. I mean, we talked about this before. The guy has done nothing. He's averaging about 3.4 yards per carry. And, you know, quite frankly, I mean, he's got a great matchup. But now there's another running back in the mix. And I don't know how they split up those carries. I just don't see a lot of upside for Mr. Grant.
Okay, and then you got to bench one more between Santana Moss, Spiller, DeMarco Murray, or Michael Bush. I'm benching Moss. I'm sticking with the running backs here.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, what he's good at a lot of times is he can take that number one receiver, that best receiver out of the equation. And with Fred Davis not there for the rest of the season, thanks to his suspension, you know, Moss is the guy that, you know, they'll probably target as far as, you know, taking one guy out of the game. And, yeah, I think I'd rather go with those running backs.
And America's guest, if you're fortunate enough that Adrian Peterson is going to go today, if you have Bush, Murray, and Spiller, I would bench Spiller and go with Bush, Murray, and Adrian Peterson. I don't think I have a lot of problem doing that. Dazed and Confused, in a non-PPR league, has a flex question. Tampa Bay Mike Williams, Dwayne Bowe, Eric Decker, or the legendary Morris, as he's called in the U.K. Dazed, I didn't know you were in the U.K. Throw up in the chat room where you're at. I want to hear where you're at and how it's like over there watching football with those halftime shows they have. Okay. Tampa Bay, Mike Williams, Dwayne Bowe, Eric Decker, Maurice Morris needs one, Rev.
Okay. Well, I've already mentioned that I'm not a big Dwayne Bowe fan this week. Decker's got a good matchup. And Morris has got an okay matchup. But the guy I'm going with here is Mike Williams. Oh, it's a non-PPR. You know, I like this matchup versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, the guys that they're throwing out there on that defense, especially in the secondary, are basically like practice squad guys. And San Diego just had a field day last week against that team, and they took their foot off the gas pedal maybe like somewhere like early in the fourth quarter, late third quarter. They could have scored even much more. So I think with Freeman back in there, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win that game easily. And I like Mike Williams here. He is the go-to receiver. He is a guy that you know is probably going to get you anywhere between 5 to 6 receptions, 80 to 90 yards. And in this game, he might do even better. So I'll go with Williams here from Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I don't have a real issue with that. The only one on this list that I think you can't consider is Bowe. I just don't think they're going to be able to get anything done today. I could see Decker. The Bears aren't that good against the pass. I think Tebow's actually going to throw the ball more today. But I'm not sure about Freeman. I'm not sure about his health, Rev. And that's what's leading me to take Morris, double Morris there, as he's called. I think it's close, but I'm going to go with the running back, and I don't think Kevin Smith's going to go, so I'm going to go with Maurice Morris today. Go Bronx with a question. Carson Palmer or Andy Dalton? That's the first question, Rev. Palmer or Dalton?
You know something? I'm going to go with Carson Palmer here. I know that, again, he's missing some of his weapons, as he does every week, but the Green Bay Packers just give up a ton of yards. And so even if Palmer throws for 2 or 3 interceptions, I think he can definitely throw 3 touchdowns and maybe even go over 300 yards. So it's all about the numbers in fantasy. I'm going to go with Palmer here.
I agree with you. I have Palmer and Tim Tebow. Thank you, Matt Schaub, for being hurt. And I have an interesting decision to make. I think I'll probably go with Palmer. Following that up, continuing along the Bengal line, Cedric Benson or MB3, Rev?
I'm going to go with Benson here just because I don't know what I'm going to get out of that Chicago offense. What they've shown so far is pretty bad. And that Denver defense just keeps on stepping up week after week. Everybody talks about Tebow, but that Denver defense is also it's also been doing the job as well.
So it's Houston.
Weeks. Yeah, I understand. So is Houston. But, you know, Cincinnati really needs that game. And I know the Chicago Bears need the game also, but the Chicago Bears have no quarterback. Their offensive line is pretty bad as well. And they have an inconsistent passing game. As far as the receivers go, a bad quarterback and a shaky offensive line. I'll go with the Cincinnati Bengals. If they don't win this game, you know, they're in big trouble. So
yeah,
I think Benson, even if he doesn't go off, I think he should be good maybe for, you know, maybe about 60 yards and a touchdown here and one of those cheap one-yard touchdowns. I could see him doing that.
I don't disagree. You know, it could be one of those 25 for 75 games for Cedric Benson and a touchdown. And I could see that being more than Marion Barber does. And it could be that Khalil Bell ends up having a better day than Marion Barber. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Okay, sticking in the chat room, interesting one here, Rev. Matt Moore or Tim Tebow? Go Bronx has the issue.
I'll go with Tebow here. I know that you know Chicago has got a decent defense. But there's nothing tricky about the Chicago Bears defense. I think that Tebow, although he won't go off, I think he should be good for some big plays, and that running ability alone, I think, makes me like him a little bit more than Matt Moore.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, to me, everybody talks about the Bears' defense, but go check out where they are in pass defense. I think you'd be surprised. Go Bronx with one more, and this is non-PPR, Rev. Should have been an easy question, but now it's not so easy. Brent Celek or Jake Ballard?
Sillick or Ballard? Sillick or Ballard? I'm going to have to go with the upside here, and I'll go with Jake Ballard.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have
as you mentioned before, there's going to be a ton of passing there. You have two bad secondaries and two teams that are in a must-win situation, whereas the Eagles, they're getting Mike Vick back, which is very nice, but, you know, you don't know where he is from a physical standpoint. You don't know where that team is right now. So I know what I'm going to get out of the Giants and the Cowboys. There's going to be a lot of passing, a lot of points scored, and I think the upside is with Mr. Ballard.
I agree with you, and quite frankly, I think they're pretty evenly matched. And when that happens, I go with the game that there's going to be more points in, and to me, that's by far the Giant game. So there's going to be just more opportunity for Ballard to do something semi-significant in that one. So I think you got to go with Ballard there. Let's see. I think we're caught up. We are indeed. And that means, Rev, we go to the winless Colts as they head to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Listen, the Ravens have been caught snoozing this year against mediocre teams, but I think even if they played with six guys, they could beat Indianapolis. And as long as one of those guys is Ray Rice, going against that Indy run D, are you kidding me? They're giving up 144 yards a game, and they've already given up 17 touchdowns on the ground. That's, to me, that's just spectacularly awful. You got to love the Baltimore defense. I think that goes without saying. I know Dan Orlovsky was decent, better than Painter, but there's still going to be some turnovers there. You know it. There's probably a pick six involved. As far as the Colts go, I gave them to you last week. I'm sticking with them. That's Pierre Garçon. Going to him again, he's not going to have 150 yards and two touchdowns, but I think, you know, maybe a little more than half that, 80 yards and a touchdown, I think it's going to be just fine. As far as the duds go, I think you got to dud both Colt running backs here. Joseph Addai, 3 yards per game against New England, and had few chances to punch it in around the goal line and did not do it. And Donald Brown, I know he's ahead of Addai, and he should be today, but I really don't think you can expect too much from the former UConn man versus the league's number two run defense. It's just going to be another long day for the soon-to-be 0-13 Colts. The sleeper here, I'm going to roll the dice here with Torrey Smith. He's been quiet lately, but I think all the running that Baltimore is going to do is going to lull Indianapolis to sleep a couple of times, and I think that's when Smith will bust loose for a big gainer. To me, it's waiting to happen, and this is a game it can happen in. I think his quiet streak ends here. I could see him going for, you know, like a 50 or 60-yard touchdown reception from Joe Flacco. 85 yards total and a touchdown for Smith. Baltimore coasts in this game 30-14, Rev. You have it close with your Ravens there?
No. I like Baltimore here. They're going to get out to the early lead, and they will coast, as you said. Maybe the Colts put up some garbage points, but I see Baltimore running away with this one 31-17.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, look, the Colts made it look a lot closer than it actually was last week against the Patriots. I have a feeling that's why the line's a little lower than it should be, you know, if gambling was legal. Rev, pretty interesting game you have here in the NFC South. Cam Newton, number two in fantasy scoring this season behind only Aaron Rodgers, welcoming in Matty DeFrost. He is not Matty Ice anymore, as far as I'm concerned, in the Atlanta Falcons. What do you got for us?
You're right about Matt Ryan. This is one of the better games of the week. You got to love Michael Turner here. I mean, the Burners last 2 weeks have been underwhelming, to say the least, versus Minnesota and Houston, respectively. But today he gets a cake matchup versus Carolina. Turner has traditionally done well versus the Panthers by rushing for 100 yards plus in 5 to 6 games against the Panthers. You also have to like Steve Smith here. I mean, here's another guy who's been cold lately as teams have been double covering him with some success. But Atlanta is very good versus the run, which will not only force Cam Newton to throw the ball well, but when he drops back, he won't see Brent Grimes, Atlanta's best corner in coverage, which will make life much easier for Steve Smith. The dud here, he's kind of a mild dud, but I'm not crazy about him, and that's Matt Ryan. He's been struggling with the deep ball lately and hasn't been very effective on grass, with 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and 2 fumbles on natural surface in 3 games this season. Ryan may not need to throw much in this spot, and I'm not saying he's going to be awful, but in my opinion, there are several other options who are going to be better this week, including Cam Newton. And the sleeper here is a guy that you've been touting, Brandon LaFell. He's been
heating
up in recent weeks. He's averaging 56 yards per game over the past 3 weeks, and he's firmly entrenched himself as the starter over Legadou Nane. I think this game's going to be close. It's going to be up and down, nip and tuck all the way, but Atlanta really needs it. I'll give the Falcons the edge here, 23-21, in a nail biter.
Interesting. I have it about 10 points higher. I have it 31-28, but I have Carolina winning this game. I think Cam Newton will be the difference in the end, and I just don't trust Matt Ryan, and I don't trust the coaching staff of Atlanta and Mike Smith. I mean, why does this team pass the ball so much when they're a run-oriented offensive line and offense, Rev? What's going on?
Well, I think it goes back to the offseason when, you know, you heard guys like Thomas Dimitroff say, we need to be more explosive. And in every interview that you read, you saw the word explosive, explosive, explosive. And I think it goes back to the Green Bay Packers when they lost to them in the playoffs at home. And they saw what kind of passing game the Packers and Aaron Rodgers have, and they want something like that. But they're trying to force it a little bit too much. They went out of their way to trade, I think it was 6 picks or something crazy like that for Julio Jones in the draft. But they're trying to force it. You have to know who you are. You're a running team first. And, you know, as I said before, let's face it, Matt Ryan, he's a good quarterback. He's a smart quarterback. But he doesn't throw the best deep ball. And so, you know, you got to know who you are. You have to stick with what you're good at. And I think they're a run team first and a passing team second.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And to take it beyond that, that offensive line is a run-blocking line. They're not protecting Matt Ryan exactly as well as one would hope when he's going back to pass that much. He doesn't have a lot of time. And, you know, it's all fine and well to say you need weaponry to compete with what Green Bay has. But first you got to get to Green Bay. You know, and I mean, you can't just say we're going to play that style of football and give up an awful lot to get Julio Jones and then assume it's just going to happen. I mean, that's not the way your team has been built. And you can't just throw a rookie receiver in there and say, okay, now we're a passing team like Green Bay. You're not. They need to run Michael Turner 25, 27 times, set up the pass from the run, not pass and then maybe run if you have to. I just don't like the whole coaching philosophy. And forget that fourth down overtime call. You forget that. I still don't like what Smith's done this year with that team. They're just a mess. And like the Jets, kind of got to figure out what you are before you can be anything. That's my take on that. Let's see if we got anything else going on in the chat room, Rev. No, we're up to date. So I think we just covered Atlanta, Carolina. Well, let's go to the Battle of Florida, Rev. Tampa, Jacksonville. I don't think Josh Freeman is going to be 100% if he plays in this game. If you have him, you might want to check that out on the injury wire beforehand. But there's no need to check out Maurice Jones-Drew. He has been gigantic over the past month. And Tampa Bay's run defense is absolutely terrible. They're giving up 142 a game. You can have a gigantic game from the pocket Hercules in this one here. Maurice Jones-Drew is a mega stud in this one. He's a top three guy for sure. LeGarrette Blount, I don't think this is going to be a one-sided affair as far as this game goes. So I think Blount will actually be a game-long participant. Too many times Blount owners have seen Tampa Bay fall behind by tons of points and be effectively robbed of any carries because Tampa's getting blown out. That doesn't happen here. I think he's a safe bet for 90 yards and a touchdown against the Jags. I like Mike Williams in this game. He scored in 3 in a row, but be careful. You know, if Freeman's not going to play, I wouldn't play Williams against Jacksonville, who are surprisingly ranked 4th in the league against the pass somehow. I'm not sure how that happened. The duds in this game are the Jacksonville wide receivers for a couple of reasons.
first of all, Blaine Gabbert's just not good enough at this point. And second of all, we're talking about Jarrett Dillard, Mike Thomas, and even though I love him, Cecil Shorts. You know, I don't see that getting the job done today. You may get one touchdown out of those three, but you're lucky if you get 100 yards combined out of them. I just don't see it happening for any of those wideouts. The sleeper here, I'll roll it with Jacksonville's D. I know they got stomped by San Diego, but Tampa's offense, they've been terrible. Giving the ball away like it's government cheese, Jacksonville's going to have a solid game today. It's going to be a low-scoring game. You're going to get turnovers from a gimpy Josh Freeman or Josh Johnson, who's ever in there. I think Jacksonville wins this game, Rev, 17-13.
Wow.
You heard me. Jacksonville, 17-13, baby.
Yeah.
Tell me why not.
I'll tell you why. I mean, take a look at some of the guys that they're playing at cornerback, first of all. Now, I know that Josh Freeman is banged up, but if he's healthy, if they deem him healthy enough to play this game, I think that by accident, I think Tampa Bay puts up at least about 20 points in this game. And, you know, you saw, I mean, and look, the Chargers are not a good team. You saw how easily they went through that Jacksonville defense. I know that they're ranked number four versus the pass, but that's when they had guys like, you know, good solid veterans like Rasheen Mathis playing in the secondary. They don't have that anymore. They had a guy, Kevin Rutland, okay, who wasn't even drafted. They had him playing, a rookie, out of Missouri, playing in the secondary at cornerback last week. And Ashton Ubuti. I mean, God, awful, awful stuff there. I got to go with Tampa Bay here. They're just much more talented than Jacksonville at this point. And Blaine Gabbert is a joke. A guy that as soon as he sees a little pressure, just throws the ball in the dirt. Awful. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay here, 24-12.
Interesting. 24-12. We'll see. I don't like what I've seen out of Tampa at all of late.
Well, you have to concede something. Tampa Bay is the more talented team, right? I mean, you have to admit that at least, right? I mean, outside of Maurice Jones-Drew, who scares you from the Jacksonville Jaguars? Are you scared by that defense? Are you scared
No.
by Blaine Gabbert? You just mentioned those three receivers are pretty bad, too, and Mercedes Lewis has been useless this year.
Yeah, but, you know, flip it around. Who scares me on Tampa Bay? Mike Williams?
LeGarrette Blount, if he gets rolling, and Mike Williams is a competent receiver, and Kellen Winslow Jr. is a decent tight end, and if Freeman is healthy, I mean, he's a guy who's about 10 times better than Blaine Gabbert.
I can't argue with that. So we'll see what happens. Funny things happen when Jacksonville plays Tampa Bay. That's how the saying goes, Rev. Two teams that I do like what I'm seeing out of, New Orleans and Tennessee. I think both teams have to have this game, Rev. You know, interconference battle in Tennessee. Can the Saints get it done on the road?
Yeah, interesting game here. I like Damian Williams in this game. You know, while Tennessee will be keeping to look Drew Brees off the field in this game by featuring Chris Johnson, the Titans will most likely be chasing the Saints from behind at some point in this game, and they're going to need to throw it. And when he drops back, Matt Hasselbeck will frequently be looking for Damian Williams, who has scored three touchdowns in his last five games. And this is a friendly matchup for the second-year man, as New Orleans has surrendered 11 touchdowns to opposing receivers. Eight of those wideouts have reached double-digit fantasy points. I also like Darren Sproles from the Saints. Yes, he's spectacular and he's fun to watch, but Sproles is also consistent. He's had only one game with fewer than 6 fantasy points, only 5 games with fewer than 12 fantasy points. With fewer than 12 fantasy points. So, look, there's no Mark Ingram in this game. He's going to see the ball a lot, and whether it's catching the ball or running the ball, he's going to get his yards. I like Darren Sproles here. The dud here is Jared Cook. You can't even trust this guy when he has a good matchup. Cook went catchless versus Buffalo last week, and this week he goes up versus a Saints defense. That does a pretty decent job versus tight ends. In fact, they have the 9th best defense versus the position. And the Saints did an excellent job of keeping Brandon Pettigrew in check, and I don't see why, you know, Jared Cook should do much this week. The sleeper here is Pierre Thomas. With Ingram out of the lineup, PT Cruiser will see plenty of carries. Thomas scored in back-to-back games when Ingram missed time earlier in the year with a heel bruise.
you know, this is a game that Tennessee really needs. I could see them playing their hearts out here, and it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'll give it to the Titans, 28-27.
Yeah, I have Tennessee winning this game as well, 27-23. I just don't trust New Orleans on the road, and I like what I've been seeing out of Chris Johnson. You know, thanks for not getting me anybody to the playoffs there, Mr. Johnson, and then playing well in the first week of them. I'm sure everyone's real pleased about that. Let's hit the chat room, Rev. Okay, go Bronx. He needs one out of these three. Jordy Nelson, Miles Austin, or Hakeem Nicks, non-PPR, although he gets 1 point for every 25 yards of kick return. I don't know how relevant that is with those guys, but
I'll go with Hakeem Nicks here. I mean, he looked absolutely fabulous last week. There was one play where Charles Woodson just like totally mugged him into the end zone. He still came down with the ball. So I think obviously he's healthy right now. He's on a roll, and you know Eli's going to be looking for him.
Yeah, it's a fantasy rule. When the guy who's covering you knuckle bumps you because you made a good play, you have to start that guy the next week. So you got to go with Nicks. He needs one running back and one flex here, Rev. Darren Sproles, Willis McGahee, Roy Helu, D'Angelo Williams, Maurice Morris, and I guess Miles Austin. You got to start McGahee. You got to start Helu. And I would flex Sproles. I don't know if you agree. I don't like D'Angelo Williams or Morris nearly as much as those three.
Okay, so he needs a running back. He needs two running backs and a flex or one running back and a flex?
Two running backs and a flex.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're right. It's one running back and one flex. I'd go with McGahee and Helu.
Yeah, I like Sproles a lot too, though.
Not as much.
Yeah, I like Sproles too, though. You can't sit McGahee. You can't sit him right now. He's red hot, and Helu is as well. Yeah, I guess I'll take both those guys over Sproles, but not by a lot. I like Sproles as well. I'll go with McGahee and Helu. That's fair.
That's fair. Dazed and Confused asks, Bengals D or Lions D? To me, depends on Christian Ponder. I mean, if you're going to face Joe Webb, I think you go with the Lions. If not, I'd feel safe playing Cincinnati against T.J. Yates. I don't think the Bengals are going to shut them down because of the running game, but I think you got the potential for low score and some interception potential there with Cincinnati.
The thing with the Bengals is, I mean, it looks like a good matchup on paper in terms of the fact that they shouldn't be giving up a lot of points. But I don't think Houston is really going to air it out much, and I don't think they're really going to turn it over. I don't see a lot of turnovers out there for the Bengals. If Christian Ponder does not play, you definitely go with the Lions here. I'm not crazy about the Bengals. They're an okay play. They're not a great play. I like the Lions a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, one more, and then we'll go. Jake Ballard, interesting one, or Jermaine Gresham in non-PPR league. I'm going with Gresham. I don't know why. I know Ballard has the potential today, but I think Dalton's going to be looking underneath a lot for Gresham today. I don't know why.
What's the status of Brian Cushing? I think he got hurt last week.
Yeah, I think he falls under the hurt but going to try to give it a go.
I don't know
if there's been updates since then, if anyone's seen anything. Let us know in the chat room if you can.
Yeah, if Cushing is banged up, and I think you might have a little bit more upside with Gresham. Then you got Brandon Marshall or Brandon Lloyd. I'll go with Marshall this week over Lloyd. I mean, the Rams are probably going to roll out Brandstater. I mean, there is a chance that Bradford could play in that debacle of a game that they're going to show on Monday night. And look, the Rams just cannot score. They just cannot score. And it's not Lloyd's fault, but I'm going to go with Marshall over Lloyd.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Brandon Marshall's going to have more targets. He might have more targets than Lloyd has yards today if Brandstatter plays. Man, I'll tell you, speaking of Brandon Marshall, let's take on that Eagles-Dolphins game. Michael Vick is back. You know, I don't know what that's going to do. Is that going to energize the Eagles and have them actually put forth an effort? We will see. I mean, if you have Michael Vick, I guess you've been waiting all this time. You got to start him, but I'd be very wary of it. I wouldn't hesitate to start LeSean McCoy. I mean, yeah, I know Miami's playing pretty well as far as run defense goes. They haven't given up a rushing touchdown in 8 games. But McCoy can do it as a receiver, too. He's a top-10 guy today, if not top 5 against that defense. I don't think you have anything to worry about with McCoy ever. Reggie Bush, looka, having a pretty good season fantasy-wise. Solid last week. He'll do it again against the Philly defense that was, I mean, look, let's say it. They were embarrassed by Beast Mode Lynch last week. And the thing about Bush is he is getting those goal line carries. I mean, he's just very valuable. 5 touchdowns in 5 games for Mr. Bush. I think you go with him, and you go with Brandon Marshall, too. Targets plus opportunity plus opposition. Philadelphia has seen opposing wide receivers go over 100 yards in each of the last 4 games. That means a receiver on the opposition's gone over the century mark 4 in a row. Marshall will make it 5. Philadelphia just doesn't know how to use its cornerbacks. Don't know what they were doing hiring that guy as defensive coordinator, but they brought these guys on. You know, it'd be like the Angels getting Albert Pujols and telling them to play center field. It's ridiculous. These guys are out of position. They have no confidence. They don't know what they're doing. I would sit Jeremy Maclin. He was probable early in the week. Now he's questionable. I don't like that. He's missed time. Pay attention to the injury report, but I wouldn't play him. And frankly, I'm done with DeSean Jackson. I just don't trust him. I thought he'd answer the critics against Seattle, but all he did was create new ones, including me. I will pass on D-Jax this week. I like the Miami defense as a sleeper this week. They've been playing solid. Vic's been injured. And please do not forget, in his last 2 games before the injury, Michael Vick threw 3 interceptions and no touchdowns. He was throwing the ball around haphazardly. I don't like it. He's going to be rusty. The rest of the team is slacking. Miami is the opposite. They're energized. I think you could do a lot worse in Miami's defense today. And I'm taking the Dolphins, Rev, the reinvigorated Dolphins, 23-17 over the Eagles.
That's funny. I have the same exact score. I think LeSean McCoy makes this game interesting, but ultimately I think Miami's the better team right now. I'll go 23-17 myself.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Vic gave them a little jolt of energy when the game started, but I think the Eagles are a team that once they give you that effort and you stand up to it, I think they're just going to say, forget it. When's off-season start? I mean, what do you think about Vic coming back? Is it a big deal or is it a little deal?
I think it's a big deal. I think that he's a lot better, obviously, than Vince Young. I think that should give everybody on that team a lot more confidence when you see Vic back out there, an exciting player, great arm. I mean, the problem with him is that, you know, he keeps getting hurt, you know. But when he's in there, you have to think that, I mean, not only does the level of the offense just go up a few notches, but it's got to give the guys around him a little bit more confidence.
Yeah, I agree. Before we go any further, we have an emergency in the chat room. Sealy 4, I mean, come on, man. You got to pick up the Seattle defense as opposed to the Giants and Dallas. Those teams could end up having negative points. Seattle's going against the Rams, man. Go grab Seattle quick. I can't believe they're still there. They're a top 10 play this week. And everyone in the chat room, thank you for hopping on that one. You guys are all correct, obviously. Interesting game, Rev. A lot of injury questions in it. The Lions, can they get their mental attitude together and stop with the personal fouls? Will Adrian Peterson play? Will Christian Ponder play? Break it down for us.
Well, I mean, as far as the studs go, you got to love Matthew Stafford in this game versus a decimated Vikings secondary that has given up more fantasy points to quarterbacks than any other team in the NFL. I mean, you saw how bad Minnesota looked versus Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos last week. By having awful breakdowns in coverage, leaving receivers wide open, Matthew Stafford here is solid, solid gold here. Now, again, I preface this with, you know, is Ponder going to play? If he does play, you have to like Percy Harvin. You know, I liked him last week, and I like him again this week.
The guy is red hot with 324 yards and four touchdowns in his last three games.
Mm-hmm.
He gets more touches than your average receiver due to his versatility. He could be lined up in various positions. He'll be used at running back. So I like him as well. The dud here, Titus Young to me is a dud. I mean, he lost playing time last week after an egregious personal foul and lost practice reps during the week to Rashid Davis. You can't rely on him, especially with Nate Burleson stepping up in recent games. Young has tremendous ability, but he's just too sporadic at this point. The sleeper here, again, if Ponder plays, I like Devin Aramishadu. You saw some obvious chemistry between Ponder and Aramishadu last week. The former Bear was targeted 15 times, and Detroit's secondary is banged up with Louis Delmas and Chris Houston out of the lineup with knee injuries. This guy can play. I mean, he's 6'2". He's only 27 years old. He fell out of favor with Mike Martz last year. And, you know, let's not forget the numbers he put up 2 years ago at the end of the season. So Devin Aramishadu, if you're really desperate, you need a guy, and you're in a deep league, Devin Aramishadu is a guy that could score some points. Now, if Christian Ponder ends up not playing and he's a game-time decision, all bets are off here. The one thing that worries you about Christian Ponder is he has a hip injury, and those things could stiffen up depending on, you know, how the weather is. But they are playing indoors in Detroit, so maybe it's not that much of a concern. But I still go with the Lions in this one. I'll go with Detroit 29, Minnesota 20.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. And, you know, interesting to think Cincinnati and Detroit, two teams that people are saying are a year away. But let's talk about this year. Which one of those two teams do you think has a better shot to make the NFL playoffs, Rev?
I think Cincinnati, because if they win today, then they have some very, very winnable games left on their schedule. So today, this week is the key week for Cincinnati, I think. If they get through Houston, I think they'll be in very good shape, whereas the Detroit Lions, I mean, even if they do well, even if they run the table until that last week, I think they played the Green Bay Packers that last game. And that's going to be a very tough spot with the Packers, you know, trying to go 16-0. And I think they do go 16-0 this year. So I think Detroit's in a little bit of a rougher shape there than Cincinnati.
Yeah, and I just don't trust the mental makeup of the Lions. All these personal fouls and stupid plays, to me, at this time of the year, that's not a team that's ready to make the playoffs. And I think in the off season, that team's going to sit around and think about what might have been, because they're good enough to make the playoffs, but between the ears, they're not. And that matters at this time of the year. You can't be making the mistakes that they've been making. In Cincinnati, you know, other than a game or two here and there, they've been in every game, and they played hard in every game, and they haven't beaten themselves. So I agree with you. Unfortunately for the Jets, I think the Bengals are definitely a worthwhile playoff contender as far as the AFC goes. Speaking of the Bengals, nice transition there. The Andre Johnson-less Houston Texans, led by T.J. Yates, make their way to the Queen City, and, you know, you got to go with Arian Foster. The guy just keeps on going. It's 30 touches per game. He's got to play. He's got to be a top five guy. They keep losing players, and Foster just keeps on going. Even if since he's playing well against the run, obviously you have to use Foster. I'd roll with Cedric Benson. His foot's healed, but as far as second running backs go on your fantasy team, I think you can use him, even though Houston's run defense is fourth, and they haven't given up a touchdown on the ground lately in the last month. I think you use them, unless you got a guy to use as your second back, like a Jonathan Stewart. I like him better than Cedric Benson today. A.J. Green, definitely usable. He's a must-start. He's got big playability. Since he's come back, he's had two double-digit games in fantasy football. I think you use him. I don't dislike the Houston defense. I think they're an okay play today, playing well. They're third overall in the league. And frankly, you know, talk about mental makeup. That team has kicked it into another gear. When they've lost quarterbacks, they've lost Andre Johnson, this defense has stepped it up behind Wade Phillips, who, quite frankly, should be given more attention than he's been given. He's only given lip service this year, but what he's done with that defense compared to what they had last year, pretty good job by Wade, who, you know, like North Turner, proving he should be an assistant coach, not a head coach. I think Andy Dalton's hip is bothering him. I don't like that as far as throwing motion is concerned, and the guy's thrown 12 picks anyway. Plenty of opportunities for Houston's D today if they put the ball in the air. The dud, the Houston wide receivers, Cincinnati's good against the pass without Andre Johnson. We're talking about a gimpy Kevin Walter. We're talking about Jacoby Jones, and we're talking about former Jet Derek Mason, and we're talking about T.J. Yates throwing him the ball. Look, I don't think Yates is awful, but, you know, he's a 50% complete guy as far as his season this season goes. I don't particularly like that passing game today. I'd avoid all of those wide receivers, even in deep leagues. The sleeper here, why not roll with Brandon Tate? You know, it's a risky proposition, but the way I expect Houston to run the ball, Tate could get 15 carries and wind up with 60, 70 yards. I mean, if you're in a bind, I think he's good, as good a bet for fantasy football points today as D'Angelo Williams. How do you like that, Rev? I have the Bengals winning this game 16-13, Rev.
Yeah, I have a similar score. I'm going with Cincy 15-10.
What do you think about Brandon Tate today?
Brandon Tate? I don't know. I'm not crazy about him. Why, you
worth
like him?
Roll the dice or no?
Brandon Tate? I don't know. I need to see more of Brandon Tate. I'm not convinced. No, I don't roll the dice on him this week.
You don't think there's room? You think it's going to be all Foster?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I said Brandon. I meant Ben Tate.
I like Ben Tate. Yeah, Ben Tate is going to get some carries. I mean, as you mentioned, Andre Johnson being out, they're going to be very conservative, I think, anyway. I like Ben Tate. I mean, I don't think he scores, but, I mean, I think that he could put up maybe about 50 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird because Brandon Tate is, in fact, playing in that game. That's, you know, and they're both three names. I got confused. Sorry, I meant Ben Tate, my favorite running back last year, buried behind Foster, but I think he can get it done today. I mean, I think the Texans, if they win this game, man, I'll be very impressed. I think this is a tough ask for them today. Look, last week, big-time upset, Rev, when the Cardinals beat the Cowboys, but I told you all, I knew that Dallas would come up with that kind of an effort. They'll play well against the Giants, but I knew they were going to do that in Arizona. Can the Cardinals make it back-to-back against the Niners, Rev? Tough one, tough ask.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I do like about Arizona, and here's something that I expected early in the season, I did expect this defense to get a lot better as the year went on, and they're showing you that they got a lot of talent on that other side of the ball where they're making things tough for other teams. As far as this game goes, I do like Michael Crabtree here as a stud. He doesn't play in a wide open or a prolific offense, but he does have 17 receptions for 270 yards, over his past three games, and despite the emergence of Patrick Peterson at cornerback, Arizona still gives up big fantasy points in the passing game. Last week, both Dez Bryant and Laurent Robinson had productive games. I look for Michael Crabtree to have a decent game here. The dud here is Kevin Cobb. I mean, he was okay versus a terrible Dallas secondary last week, but he still needed a 52-yard touchdown pass in overtime to put up 17 fantasy points. San Francisco is much stingier versus the pass than Dallas is, as evidenced by the fact that the 49ers have allowed only one quarterback to throw for multiple touchdown passes since week six. I think Beanie Wells is a dud here. We all know about how tough a 49er front seven is against running backs. The 49ers have now played in 34 straight games without allowing 100 yards to a running back, and they have yet to allow a rushing touchdown in 13 games this season. The sleeper here, I'll go with Andre Roberts. He's only an option in deep PPR leagues, but Roberts showed you something last week. He has more upside than early Doucette. He's an explosive guy after the catch. I think this is a low-scoring game. I think both defenses make plays here.
But I like Arizona in a must-win situation. Well, it's not really a must-game situation because they're not going to the playoffs anyway. But what's San Francisco playing for here? I like Arizona. I like the fact that they're playing better. Their defense looks a whole lot better. Patrick Peterson is starting to look like a real stud. I'll go with the Cardinals here, 13-10.
Wow. I think the Niners have an awful lot to play for. Number two seed, baby. They want that bye week.
I understand that. But teams normally don't play that hard for that number two seed. Like, you know, you see it year in and year out. When they're in the playoffs, that's all they care about. You know, I don't know.
I buy more that they might get caught looking ahead to the Monday night game against Pittsburgh, a national game. But I think Harbaugh keeps their eye on the prize here. And I just think they're too solid. And, again, you mentioned Cobb. I don't trust him at all. So, speaking of the playoffs and the Niners, what do you think their chances are to advance? I'm not that high on them. I'm not completely sold on the Niners yet.
Yeah, I'm not sold on them either. And I think you saw, you know, a lot of their limitations against the Baltimore Ravens a few weeks ago, where, you know, they hit a big play, but it was called back due to a penalty. You know, that's a team that is limited offensively. If they have, like, one or two things go against them, they don't show the ability to bounce back because they're just not an explosive team. And, you know, I think if they go up against a team with a strong pass rush, that offensive line is still young, and they still have problems picking up the blitz. And while they do have a very good running game, I just see a lot of limitations there with the offense. And to win in today's NFL, you got to be able to throw the ball. You got to be able to put up some points. And I just think that offense is too limited.
Yeah, to me, they lack the two most important things when it comes to the playoffs. They can't pass, and they have trouble defending the pass. I mean, they can be had by a team who throws the ball. And if you look at who might make the playoffs in the NFC, all of those teams can throw the football, you know, consistently. I don't think Atlanta necessarily going to make it. I don't know if Chicago necessarily going to make it. All the other teams in contention can throw the ball well. You know, even if they're a number two seed and they play at home, which to me would work to their disadvantage, if I'm San Francisco, I'd rather go to Green Bay in the freezing cold and play that kind of game than a 60-degree day in January, which you could get in San Francisco, and have a team comfortable throwing the ball like the Giants, like the Cowboys, like the Lions. Those teams can throw the ball. I mean, I know San Francisco beat the Giants, but if they play again, my money's on the New Yorkers there. Let's hit the chat room here. Rev Skull Monkeys, love it. PPR needs one. Laurent Robinson against the Giants, Brandon Lloyd against Seattle, or Darius Hayward Bay against the Packers. I'm going Robinson if he's playing. Agree, disagree?
I agree.
All right, let's see. Dazed and Confused needs a PPR question. He's got a flex spot open. Turf Toe Jonathan Stewart, Robert Meacham, Reggie Wayne, or Jermaine Gresham. I'm going with Stewart here. I like Stewart today.
I think by process of elimination, I'll go with Stewart. I'm not crazy about any of those other options.
Yeah, it's tough to ask for Meacham when there's a lot of other options for the Saints. Reggie Wayne, I mean, good Lord, that team's just suffering, and tough to go with Jermaine Gresham today, even if Cushing doesn't play. Big Tex, I agree. I don't know if it's necessarily smoke and mirrors for the Niners. I think they're a decent team that's helped by the division in which they play. But exactly, they can't keep up in a shootout. Let's see. Thorolf says the Texans are tweeting a lot about the weather in Ohio, so I guess bet the under if you're in Vegas. All passing teams in the NFC, yes, that's right. They better get the number one seed, the weather team. Thorolf, you're correct. All right. Interesting game today. Tim Tebow taking on the Chicago defense in the Mile High, and might rather take on the Chicago offense, which pretty much will be outscored by the Chicago defense today, in my opinion. But I think the Tebow magic's going to be held in check a little bit today. I don't think he's going to get completely shut down, but I think as far as his running is concerned, I think it's going to be pretty minimal today against the Bears. I happen to think he's going to throw the ball a lot more than people expect. You got to go with Willis McGahee. He is the Bronco to own today. His knee's okay. He's been running like a man possessed in the last two. I know Chicago's a top 10 run defense, and I know they hold opponents under 100 yards on average. But boy, oh boy, McGahee's just running too well. And that split second of hesitation that teams have when Tebow decides to hand the ball off is paying dividends for McGahee owners, and he's leading them to playoff wins this week. The dud this week, just say it, the whole Bears offense. Caleb Haney stinks. Barber isn't that good, and he's going to lose carries to the immortal Khalil Bell, and the wide receivers have no shot. You just can't expect more than 150 yards passing out of Caleb Haney. You want to divide that among Earl Bennett, Devin Hester, Roy Williams, the running backs, the tight ends. There's just nothing there. There's 25, 30 yards a receiver. It's just not happening today. Doesn't inspire a fantasy football start from anyone other than Marion Barber, and I don't even like him that much. The sleeper in this game, I'll roll with the hot hand in Demaryius Thomas. Why not? After last week's amazing performance of 144 yards and two touchdowns, I feel confident playing him again. I don't think he's going to repeat those numbers, but I think Tebow's going to throw more, and if he does, no reason that Thomas would be the guy to have there. I mean, I think you go with Thomas here. I like him more than Decker this week. He's the guy I want going against the 28th-ranked Chicago pass defense. Don't forget it, folks. The Bears are not an immortal defense at all. They're not that good. I have Denver winning this game relatively easily, Rev, 24-13 in a rare lack of a Tebow fourth quarter necessity. Your thoughts?
I like the Denver Broncos as well. I think it's going to be a closer game, though. I think Chicago's defense will actually do a decent job in limiting Tim Tebow and company, but Denver likes playing those types of tight games. I think there will be lots of running in this game. I'll go with the Broncos here, 17-16.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, it's hard to say no way the game will be close because that's what Denver sort of wants. They want to sort of lull you into that 12th round, and then they use the Tebow magic. But to me, this Chicago offense is just going to put the defense in too big a hole all game. And don't be surprised in the second half if Chicago's defense is gasping for air in that altitude there. And it does make a difference. Believe me, I lived out there for 10 years. It matters. So I think the Broncos are going to have an easier time. We'll see if it's another Tebow rescue. I think Denver wins by a little more than that. The boys in the chat room with a question here. In a non-PPR league, Rev, he needs two. Vincent Jackson, Roddy White, Michael Crabtree, or Stevie Johnson. I'm going with Jackson and White myself, although I could see an argument to the contrary. What do you think?
Yeah, I like Jackson and White as well. I mean, Jackson is red hot in that offense right now with Floyd there. I think he gets open for some big plays. I like White as well. Atlanta is in a must-win situation here this week. And although I think Michael Turner has a big game, I think that Roddy White, I think in recent games, he's really picked up his play. So I'll go with White, and I'll go with V-Jax.
Yeah, and I mean, look, guys, in the chat room, I can't really argue with you if you want to start Stevie Johnson. I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities today. But to me, Roddy White, just a better player overall, probably playing on a better offense today. I'm going to go with him, but I can't argue with Stevie Johnson. Another one from the boys, non-PPR, for his flex. He's got Mo Morris, Santana Moss, Darius Haywood-Bey, Antonio Gates, or David Nelson. That's tough. I mean, your instinct is to go with the running back and Morris, but I'm kind of going to go off the wall today. I kind of like Antonio Gates.
Well, I think Antonio Gates is going to get you, I would say about 5-6 receptions and at least about 70 yards. I could see that. But Darius Haywood-Bey is a guy who, I think, the fact that Denarius Moore is out and Jacoby Ford is out again, and the fact that, you know, the Raiders are going to need to throw the ball to have a prayer in that game versus the Packers, I kind of like Darius Haywood-Bey here. I know he's a risky pick, but, you know, who else are they going to throw to in that offense?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if you want to roll the dice, you could go with one of the receiving options. If you want to settle for, you know, 70 yards and maybe a touchdown, I think Morris is the guy. But I wouldn't mind rolling the dice with DHB. And, you know, it bums me out because Carson Palmer looked like he had something going on when he had everybody in there. And, God, I mean, you know, McFadden, Ford, Moore, can't these guys stay healthy? I mean, with those three in there, Oakland's a pretty interesting team. But without them, they're nothing.
Oh, this is why at the beginning of the season,
you're right,
I was never a McFadden fan. But this guy, every year, he finds a way to get hurt. And when you need him the most, he goes down with an injury. And now they're saying that he's probably not even going to play again for the rest of the season, they're saying, with his injury. So, you know, and that Jacoby Ford injury and Denarius, I mean, those have to be frustrating injuries because, you know, look, if a guy tears up an ACL, if a guy, you know, has a serious injury where you know he's going to be out for a certain period of time, you know, that's one thing. But when a guy sprains an ankle and you know, it's like every week you don't know whether he's going to play or he's going to sit out. And that's the case with Jacoby Ford, for instance. You know, I have him in one league, and it's like I have him sitting on my bench. I know this guy has a lot of potential, but it's like every week I keep waiting for him, and now they're saying that he's running around and he should be ready next week, but it's just frustrating when you have one of those injuries where you just don't know if it's going to take 2 weeks to heal or 4 weeks or 5 weeks to heal.
Yeah, and I mean, look, they to me, obviously, they gave up a bit much to get Carson Palmer. He comes in, he has a terrible first game, seems to improve then, and it's like, you know, you get invited to a party, and Carson Palmer comes in the door only to find out that the party was the next day and no one's there. I mean, they give up all of this, and then they got nothing for him. I mean, look, Darius Heywood-Bey, decent. Shaz Chillen's not doing anything for me. They got nothing from the tight end spot. Michael Bush is running his heart out, but they just don't have the weapons that they wanted to. And if, you know, McFadden can't stay healthy, I mean, it's time. It's time to decide, is this a guy that we're going to lean on? Because Michael Bush needs a pay raise, as far as I'm concerned, because he's carrying the load for that team. All
I
right,
think they gotta keep him. They
yeah,
have to keep
they
him.
They have to.
Thing.
But if
yeah.
they keep him, they're going to have to pay the man. All right, interesting question here. Thoroff says he's going to need some firm opinions to change things up. Well, we'll see what we can give you. He's got two healthy running backs here for his second running back slot, Donald Brown, Keeland Williams, and Brandon Sane. He doesn't like the Brown against Baltimore matchup. I don't blame you at all. And Indy suffering a delusion to die is better. I don't know that that's true. I think Brown is definitely the number one guy there right now. So does he play Brown, or does he roll the dice with Keeland Williams or Brandon Sane, Rev?
I think you got to go with Donald Brown here. I mean, if you're counting on Keeland Williams to give you anything, I mean, come on, you know. And Brandon Sane looked okay, but, I mean, you don't know what's going on in that backfield with Green Bay, and they're more of a throwing team. I think
or,
the matchup, even though the matchup is bad, I think you go with Brown here.
Yeah, or let me throw this wild card in there. Apparently on the waiver wire is the immortal Chris Ogbonnaya, so he could pick him up. I don't think he's an option. I think you got to go with Donald Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's a crowded backfield out in Ohio there. I don't like that at all. Very funny line, Big Tex. Like that one. We were talking about the Oakland Raiders, Rev, going up to Green Bay in what I expect to be a rather high-scoring affair. Fantasy bonanza or what?
Yeah, well, we spoke about Carson Palmer, and he's my stud in this game. You know, it would be nice if Palmer can get either Denarius Moore or Jacoby Ford back, but he will need to air it out as he'll be chasing the Packers all game long. The Packers are a generous bunch with opposing quarterbacks. In fact, seven signal callers have thrown for 300 yards or more versus the green and gold. The dud here is Ryan Grant. I mean, this should look like a good matchup on paper for Grant versus a bad run defense. And if James Starks out this week,
But the suffer New York native has done zilch this year. He's averaged 3.4 yards per carry this season and only gained 29 yards on 13 carries last week. And plus, Green Bay will, you know, they're a team that, you know, at least as far as the running backs are concerned and the receivers, they spread the ball around a lot. They have so many weapons. And as far as the running backs go, you know, now they have Brandon Sane, who's getting some touches. John Kuhn is a guy, a factor in the red zone at the goal line area. So I say you stay away from Ryan Grant. The sleeper here is Darius Heyward-Bey. He looked healthy last week as he's fully recovered from a neck injury. He had a team-high 8 targets versus Miami, and there will be lots of passing in this game. He is one of the last men standing among the injury wasteland that is the Oakland Raider receiving corps, and I think it's a relatively high-scoring game, lots of passing, lots of fun here. I like Green Bay 34-24 over the Raiders.
Yeah, I like that score as well. I had it 38-27, but I could see it either way. An interesting matchup, and you know, quite frankly, again, I'll say it. I just wish those three main cogs for the Oakland offense were there. It'd be a much more interesting game, as far as I can see. Tub with the big question: Cam Shaft Newton or Drew Brees? He says he's been starting Brees every week, but Newton manages to put up better fantasy points. And, yeah, that is the case. I mean, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Cam Newton, overall, number 2 fantasy scorer. You know, he's a good 40 points or so behind Aaron Rodgers, but he's scored, I think, 10 more fantasy points over the season. Not a lot, but more than Drew Brees. So it is a lot closer than you'd think. Those ground yards from quarterbacks really help. And today, I got no problem with starting Cam Newton over Brees on the road. What do you think, Rev?
I agree. I mean, Cam Newton is a guy who's extremely motivated. This is a big game for Carolina. It's a rivalry game. They want to win. And Cam Newton called out his whole entire team during the week where he said, they all have to start playing at my level. You know, hey, look, that's you don't like hearing those types of statements. But, you know, at least the guy's showing that he's willing to take on a leadership role, and it shows a lot of confidence. You know, those types of words come out of a rookie like that. And, you know, the production he gives you running the ball is just unprecedented. So, yeah, I could see going with Cam Newton, and I will go with Cam Newton over Drew Brees this week.
Yeah, to me, Newton number 2 overall is a surprise as far as the seasonal fantasy scores go. Another couple guys, Rev, before we get back into the games, 2 top 10 guys overall fantasy running back-wise, kind of a surprise to me, Beanie Wells and Marshawn Lynch, 2 guys not in the top 10, Chris Johnson and Frank Gore. But to me, Lynch and Wells, I'm pretty surprised. I thought they'd have decent years, but I didn't think they'd be top 10 guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, Wells has looked a lot better, but the guy I'm really impressed with is Marshawn Lynch. I mean, this guy runs with an abandon, and he scored now in, what, 8 consecutive games. Look, I mean, the guy, he's got a better – he's running behind a better offensive line this year. There's no doubt about it. I love what I've seen out of Marshawn Lynch, you know. I don't know where this was last year. I know, obviously, you know, the offensive line wasn't as good. But I love what I've seen out of Marshawn Lynch. And as far as Beanie Wells is concerned, I'm still not convinced. I mean, look, going into next year, and we'll have time to talk about this in future weeks, going into next year, I don't know if I want Beanie Wells on my team. I know that the guy has talent. He's got breakaway ability for a guy of his dimensions, a big, solid running back. But to me, he's too fragile. And I know that he had 200 yards, was it a couple of weeks ago? But a lot of those yards, you know, came on plays where he wasn't even touched. And so, to me, he's a guy that I still can't trust. I have more faith in Marshawn Lynch. Even if Marshawn Lynch isn't as talented physically, I think that Marshawn Lynch is a more reliable guy. He stays healthy. Whereas, you know, Wells, I still can't trust him.
Yeah, and don't forget, the Cardinals didn't trust him either. That's why they drafted a running back in the first round. Just, you know, bummer that he got hurt, and who knows what happened. But, you know, moving over to wide receiver, you got Calvin Johnson and Wes Welker at the top, and they're separated by a lot as far as fantasy points go. But the third most productive fantasy wide receiver, Victor Cruz. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Out of nowhere, over 1,000 yards already. I mean, I don't. The Giants thought he might produce, but come on, no way they expected that. And he's only going to add to it tonight. It's really a tremendous story, and it's too bad the Giants are so banged up on defense, or this guy would be getting all kinds of praise.
Yeah, it's shocking. It really is. I mean, we saw a taste of this last year during that exhibition game versus the Jets. But, you know, it was the exhibition season, and you really never really took him that seriously. But, I mean, this year, I mean, this guy's been incredible. I mean, whether it's lined up in the slot or on the outside, this guy has shown you that, you know, that, I mean, he's totally surpassed Mario Manningham. You know, even if Manningham comes back, I think he's probable this week. I mean, the pecking order in that offense is Nicks and Cruz and then Manningham.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's clear he's surpassed Manningham, but for my money, he's surpassed Nicks. I think he's Eli's number one guy now. And, look, credit to the Giants. They drafted him great. Maybe they got a little lucky, but they did give him the season last year to kind of, you know, coming out of UMass, kind of adapt to the pro-style game. And now this year he's absolutely going crazy. And maybe it's because of injuries that he got his chance, but it doesn't matter. The Giants don't care. They have a little diamond in the rough here. And, you know, look, the guy's going to go to the Pro Bowl. And I mean, the odds you could have gotten on that at the beginning of the season, forget about it. But, you know, we liked him because of what he did against the Jets in the preseason last year, as you mentioned. But salsa dancing in New York this year, I mean, the guy's just been unbelievable. So those are a couple of fantasy surprises. Let's hit the chat room here. Thoroth says he's talking himself into rolling with Sane. I think you're insane. Go with Donald Brown. Okay, the boys, non-PPR, needs a flex here. MB3, Ryan Matthews, A.J. Green, or Steve Johnson? I think I'm going with Matthews. I like what I've seen from him the last couple weeks. Rev, A.J. Green or Matthews for you?
Well, normally I would go with A.J. Green. It's just that I think that's going to be a low-scoring game between Cincinnati and Houston. And if he's not going to score a touchdown, then I'll go with the running back.
Okay, quarterback question from the boys here. Andy Dalton, Matt Hasselbeck, or Carson Palmer? Dalton shouldn't be in the conversation as far as I'm concerned, so it comes down to Hass or Carson Palmer. And, you know, even without weapons, I think Palmer is probably the way to go here, even though I don't like – I mean, I do like the matchup Hasselbeck has going against New Orleans. I don't know. It's close between him and Palmer. You know,
the only
thing
that worries
– I'm
going to
go with Hasselbeck.
You go with Hasselbeck? Okay, the only thing that worries me about Hasselbeck is that, you know, Chris Johnson is running the ball very well right now, and you can run the ball against the New Orleans Saints. So that's the only thing I'm worried about, whereas the Raiders, I don't think they're going to waste much time running the ball. You know, Michael Bush, if he's going to get any production, it's going to be catching the ball in the backfield this week, I think. So I think Palmer has a little bit more upside.
I could see it. I just kind of like, I mean, the same thing could happen. You know, the Saints could get the Titans into a shooting match here, and there's no reason Johnson can't get it done passing-wise also. I it's a little risky. I don't know. For some reason, I like Hasselbeck. I got a Hasselbeck issue this year. I've gone with him too much, so maybe I should go with Palmer, but I'm going with Hasselbeck. I think Green Bay should do much better against Palmer, but, you know, they only have what they have out there, and they're going to give up points and yards. So that's the bottom line. We're talking about Ryan Matthews. The Chargers, I guess, big win last week in Monday night against Jacksonville. They get to play another team who's kind of not playing well. Buffalo Bills lost like 100 games in a row. Scott Chandler, their tight end, is out. I think you got to pay attention to Phillip Rivers here. Everyone's writing off last week because Jacksonville's not very good, but they're fourth in the league in pass defense. And Buffalo's 19th. They've given up 21 touchdowns through the air. That's an awful lot. Their secondary, as Rev mentioned earlier, is just atrocious. Now they're flying across the country after losing five straight. I don't see it from Buffalo this week. Start Rivers, to me, is a top 10 this week, which I know will make Rev happy as he has him on his team. Antonio Gates is good for 6 or 7 receptions, 80 yards, probably a red zone target and a touchdown. I like Ryan Matthews. Buffalo gives up 130 yards on the ground a game. Matthews has been over 110 yards in 2 straight. I know he's inconsistent. I know he gets hurt. I know he has a tendency to cough up the ball too much. But right now, he's hot, so I'd ride the hot hand. He's number one running back this week as far as your fantasy team goes. And Vincent Jackson, you know, this guy, he kills me. He alternates. Good week, bad week. Good week, bad week. But as we mentioned earlier with Malcolm Floyd back, I think he's freed up. I think you can easily expect 80 yards and a touchdown from Vincent Jackson. We talked a lot earlier in the show about C.J. Spiller. There's really not anyone else to capitalize on a recently failing San Diego run defense. So I think C.J. Spiller approaching 100 total yards and a touchdown in this game. I think he can get it done, and so can Stevie Johnson. He's going to be the guy getting the targets. He's got 13 grabs in the last 2 and a pair of touchdowns for show for his efforts after that, you know, shooting himself in the foot, so to speak, against the Jets at the end of the game. He rebounded nicely with a touchdown last week. He can do it again. To me, the dud in this game is Mike Tolbert. In case you guys haven't noticed, it's not a 1 and 1A in San Diego. It's a 1, and that's Matthews, and a 2, and that's Tolbert. He might get 50 yards and a score, but to me it's not worth the risk unless you have injury issues. I'd rather have Pierre Thomas or Maurice Morris in my lineup than Tolbert this week. And a sleeper is Malcolm Uncle Floyd. You know, 4 grabs, 108 yards, and a touchdown after returning from injury. No rust. Very impressed with the way Floyd came back. Rivers and the San Diego offense are heating up just in time to barely miss the playoffs, as they are so wont to do. This team disappoints, but they will not today. I got the Chargers winning this game 31-20, Rev. I think it's going to be relatively easy skating for them today. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll go with San Diego here, 33-19.
Okay, let me hit the chat room for a second here. Oh, good one here, Rev. And you were liking Sanchez, so I'll ask you, Carson Palmer or Mark Sanchez?
I'll still go with Carson Palmer here. I think, you know, Sanchez, I think he's a nice sleeper, but I think Carson Palmer puts up much better numbers.
I don't disagree. Non-PPR, the boys needs 1 running back and 1 flex. Marion Barber, 3rd, LeGarrette Blount, Beanie Wells, Willis McGahee, Victor Cruz, or Nate Washington. To me, you need 1 running back. That's going to be McGahee.
Yep.
Then you go with a flex. To me, it comes down to Blount or Victor Cruz. Man, that's close. I see them both with 90 yards and a touchdown. I'll go with Victor Cruz since we just talked him up. What do you think, Rev?
I'll just go with Cruz because there's going to be a lot more points scored in that game. So
yeah,
you just go according to that.
Yep. Let's see. Here's another quarterback question. Matt Stafford, obviously against the Vikings, or clutch man Tony Romo against the Giants? Interesting dilemma here for the Bulls.
You know something? I mean, you would be tempted to go with Romo because we just mentioned how big of a shootout that's going to be between both teams. But I'm thinking that the Dallas Cowboys are going to look to establish the running game versus the Giants. The Giants aren't very good against the run, and now they got their fullback back in the lineup, Tony Fiametta. And so I think that something tells me that the Cowboys will look to run a little bit more than usual this week, although they're going to need to pass it. But I like Stafford more. I like Stafford's I like what I saw out of him last week, and he's not playing with that glove anymore. And, you know, I don't see the Vikings doing much of anything. That secondary is just in shambles right now. I'll go with Stafford over Romo.
Yeah, I think both guys go over 300 yards today. Stafford might do it in the first half against that awful secondary in Minnesota. But I think they both go over 300 yards. To me, the difference is Dallas, well, as you say, when they get in the red zone, you know, Jason Witten and running the ball is where they're going to go. I don't think they trust Romo with the ball in the red zone against the Giants, and for good reason, as far as I'm concerned, in December with Romo. But, Stafford will be throwing the ball from all over the place. So I think 300 yards and two or three touchdowns for Stafford, maybe 300 yards, two touchdowns, two picks for Romo. So by a little bit, I'm going with Matt Stafford today over Tony Romo, although you're pretty well set with either one, I think. Wide receiver question from Jimbo. Michael Crabtree or Santana Moss, Rev?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I like both guys. I'll go with Santana Moss just because I think it's going to be easy for that Washington passing game. I think it's going to be easy for Grossman to put up yards against the Patriots. I don't think Washington scores a lot of touchdowns, but I think they'll put up some yards. And so because of that, I think Moss will be good for maybe about six or seven receptions today, whereas Crabtree, he can go off for a big play, but I think that's going to be more of a low-scoring game between the 49ers and Arizona.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd roll with Santana Moss. Experto in the house, wow, all this time, and he's dropping some words of wisdom here. Dallas needs to beat the Giants. Man, I'm glad we waited an hour and 45 minutes for that one, man. Give me a weather report or something, Experto. Come on. Okay, Easy D got a question. 12 teams, standard scoring, needs one. Lance Moore with Drew Brees, a dinged-up Chaz Schillens for garbage time, or Devin Aramishadu without a quarterback, really. I mean, you got to me, I'm going with Lance Moore here. I know it's risky with New Orleans, but I'm going with him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Lance Moore, again, I lump him in with the Robert Meachams of the world. You don't know. You can go off for two touchdowns or you'll get, like, nothing out of him. You'll get maybe two receptions for 20 yards out of him. The top guys in that offense are Colston, Jimmy Graham, and Darren Sproles. Whereas I think Chaz Schillens is a guy that he's going to see a lot of action. Everybody else has heard him, that offense. I like Chaz Schillens as a deep sleeper this week.
All right, I'm just saying Moore's got five touchdowns in his last five games, and he even got one last week, even though he only had two catches. So I don't know. I mean, it's a tough call, and I could see why you'd go with the chiller, Chaz Schillens there. But, I have a little thing for Lance Moore, so let's go with Lance Moore this week. And we cleared up in the chat room. Anyone asking if Peterson is playing? I have not seen anything. I think by 11:30 when the injury reports come out, you'll definitely know. The boys, non-PPR, needs one. Sean Green, Cedric Benson, Marion Barber III, or Brandon Marshall.
Sean Green
got the best chance of scoring, so I'm going with Sean Green, Rev. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Sean Green for me.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Big game tonight for my Giants traveling into Dallas after losing what seems like 30 games in a row. You got to love both quarterbacks in this game. They're both going to go over 300, I think, terrorizing their opposing weak secondaries. I see DeMarco Murray rebound. Pretty poor outing last week by his standards. I think he rebounds. I like Dez Bryant. Miles Austin not going to be all the way back. Laurent Robinson a little banged up. I see a big game for Dez and also Jason Witten. The Giants are just terrible against tight ends. And I'm telling you, when Tony Romo looks back there and sees Tyler Sash instead of Kenny Phillips, his eyes are going to light up. They're going to have a big day passing the ball as far as I'm concerned. Look, Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, and you can't lose. Last week it was Nicks' turn for two touchdowns after Cruz put a brace in the week before. With these two, a shootout's going to be just fine for the Giants. Aaron Rodgers isn't walking through that door at the end of the game. It's Tony Romo. I think they're going to be a little happier about that. The dud to me in this game has got to be less than super Mario Manningham. I think he's going to play, but he is so clearly the number three choice now. He's closer to Ramsey's Barden than he is to Victor Cruz. He's gimpy. He's not a main target anymore. Hasn't done anything for a month. I would avoid Mario today. The sleeper here, if you want to roll the dice, you can do it with Miles Austin. I know a lot of people are saying stay away, let him get his feet wet. But I'm telling you, some guys, and Malcolm Floyd did it last week, they come right back in at 100% and pick up where they left off. I know he's been sleeping for a month, literally, but I like him as a sleeper today. This game's going to be a shootout. He's come through practice healthy enough to contribute. But it will not be enough, Rev. The Giants go into Dallas and pull out the win 31-28 over the Dallas Cowboys. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I like the Giants here 34-30. Comes down to the last drive, last play of the game. They're down 30-27, and Eli Manning, as cool as a cucumber, scores the winning touchdown, finds Hakeem Nicks or one of those guys, and I like the Giants here 34-30.
Yeah, look, you know, the Tony Romo is a choker thing is a little overblown for me, but the Eli Manning playing well in the fourth quarter thing is not overblown. That's legit. And I think when it comes down 10 minutes left in a 27-24 game, I don't care what the score is or who has the lead, I'd rather have Eli Manning and even a deficit at that point of the game than Tony Romo. And I know the Giants are banged up in the secondary. And really, Rev, the thought of Tyler Sass starting for the Giants is just absolutely killing me this week. Kenny Phillips out. Tyro Sash in. I mean, the Giants are almost as bad as New England as far as having to get guys off the street in the secondary. I don't see how they run the table in that situation, and that's what they're going to need to do to win this division and make the playoffs. But I think they can win tonight. I mean, I don't know if you think they can run the table, but I don't.
No, it's going to be tough. But, you know, what worries you about the Cowboys is they are healthier on offense between Miles Austin and Tony Fiametta. It's going to be a great game. I mean, I think last team with the ball wins. And as you said, I like the fact that Eli Manning is a cool customer in tough situations, in two-minute situations at the end of the fourth quarter, whereas Tony Romo, he could be playing a great game, but then when it comes down in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter, he makes some stupid mind-boggling mistakes. So I'll take Eli in a tight game over Tony Romo.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with that one. And you know what, Experto, you're right. DeMarcus Ware is going to have a big game. The Giants, I think, are done, but I think they can get a win today. I just don't see, you know, Jason Garrett, Big Texas, Jason Garrett will overtrust Romo today. I don't buy it. I mean, the guy just doesn't trust him. It's never going to happen, and he's going to go down not trusting him. The boys, non-PPR, needs two of these four guys, Rev. Vincent Jackson, Carolina Steve Smith, Miles Austin, or Brandon Marshall. I immediately find Austin the odd man out there just because he's coming back from injury, and it's not worth it when you have those other three guys as possibilities. I really like Steve Smith today. So to me, Vincent Jackson or Brandon Marshall, Rev, is the other guy.
I'll go with Vincent Jackson and Steve Smith here.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to do the same. I think Marshall's very close to Vincent Jackson. I know Vincent Jackson's disappointed people, but I'm going to say this is a week he bucks the trend. It has two good weeks in a row. I like what I saw from the San Diego offense with Malcolm Floyd back in there. And again, now that the pressure's off and they've sufficiently stunk up the joint enough, I think San Diego will play well, and I think they win easily and score a ton of points. I mean, it's just a joke. That team needs a complete overhaul in the front office and on the coaching staff. Okay. Another one, non-PPR, needs one. C.J. Spiller, Marion Barber III, or Daniel Thomas? To me, clearly Spiller, yes?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Rev, we're going to finish up the slate of games with just a huge battle. St. Louis, Monday night, against Seattle. I mean, really, couldn't they flex out of this game? Good Lord, that's awful. Break it down.
Yeah, a real clash of the Titans here. Hey, look, the stud is Marshawn Lynch. He's well-rested. He's on a roll. He's going up versus an awful run defense. You don't think twice about it. You start Marshawn Lynch. And then, you know, we brought this up earlier. Seattle's defense, man, they have to be like a top three defense this week, in my opinion. Things can't get any worse for the Rams. They're down to their third-string quarterback, Tom Brandstater. At least it seems that way. Sam Bradford is a game-time decision now, you're hearing. But if they do go with Brandstetter, this guy, he's been a practice squad guy for most of the year. And what's more, St. Louis's offensive line is comically weak. So it's no coincidence that the Rams give up more fantasy points to opposing defenses than any other team. And on top of all of that, the Seahawks have 8 interceptions in their last 4 games. So they're becoming quite the ball-hawking defense. So you got to love Seattle's defense here. And they're my stud, along with Marshawn Lynch. The dud here, believe it or not, is Brandon Lloyd. Now, you know, Lloyd is a great receiver, stuck in an awful situation. And especially if Brandstetter plays, he's got no chemistry with him. And, you know, while, you know, Lloyd did put up decent numbers versus Seattle in week 11, 5 receptions, 67 yards and a touchdown, I think he'd be hard-pressed to put up 50 yards this week. Last week, the 49ers successfully neutralized him by holding him to one catch for 34 yards. And I'm sure Pete Carroll will be implementing a similar game plan. Look, when Lloyd went up against Seattle, he was still a newbie there with the Rams. Now that, you know, teams have kind of like had a chance to see this team play, they know that really you take a look at that offense, especially in the passing game, you take Brandon Lloyd out of the equation and you really don't have much to worry about. So that's going to be the focus there for Seattle. I don't see Brandon Lloyd putting up huge numbers. The sleeper here is Golden Tate. Tate saw more snaps than any other Seahawk wide receiver last week, especially now with Sidney Rice on injured reserve. He is a wide receiver with running back skills, making him a nice option as a safety valve target. I do like Seattle in this game. I will go Seahawks 22, St. Louis 3.
I could see it happening. I have it 17-7, Seattle, and kind of a snoozer. No reason for Seattle to take risks. And, you know, take a look at that schedule. It is entirely possible that the Seahawks finish at 9-7. And I don't want to get people alarmed here that Tavares Jackson might participate in a playoff game. But it's possible. I mean, 9-7 might get you in the NFC. It's entirely possible. Do you see them finishing 9-7 at all?
Seattle?
Yeah. Why not?
Maybe. I mean, I have to look at their remaining schedule. Do you have their games up? I mean,
I happen to have it. Hold on 1 second. You know, it is interesting. They have St. Louis, a winnable game in Chicago. Then
yeah.
The tough San Francisco at home. You know, who knows what the Niners will be doing at that point. Frank Gore might not play. Alex Smith might sit. And then at Arizona.
I think that Arizona game is going to be hard. With the way Arizona's playing now, that defense is stepping up. I think those last two games are going to be tough for Seattle between the 49ers and Arizona there.
Possibly. But, you know, it would be interesting if Seattle, out of nowhere, you know, who would have thunk the NFC West has even the possibility of having two playoff teams in it? I mean, pretty interesting. And embarrassingly enough, the one prediction I got wrong this year, I thought the Rams would be good. I don't know why, but
yeah, the only one.
It could be Steve Spags is on his way out. Rumors of him going back to Philadelphia as a defensive coordinator. I think there could be a worse choice for the Eagles, but, you know, Philly needs to do something down there. Right now, Rev, if you had to determine who you guessed would be in the Super Bowl right now, who you taking?
Well, I'm definitely going with the Packers. I mean, I don't see anybody beating them. You know, I did like the Steelers to make a run here before Big Ben's latest injury. Now that sort of causes a little doubt in my mind now. You know, in that case, I would have to go with, I think it's going to be between the Ravens and New England. I'll go with the Ravens. I'll go Ravens, Green Bay.
Yeah, it's funny. You take Green Bay and then you look in the AFC and every team you want to say, you kind of are looking for another team. Now that this, I don't like this Roethlisberger injury. I think it's going to cost them the division. So you take Baltimore, but then you think, really, Joe Flacco, can he put points up? And New England, they have no defense. The secondary is terrible. I'll tell you, it's a tough call, but when in doubt, I'll go with the team with the better quarterback. So right now, I'm going New England, Green Bay, and what to me, Aaron Rodgers could throw for 800 yards in that Super Bowl if that's what happens in that game. And you know, New England could get some guys back. But right now, Julian Edelman playing defensive back is what we're looking at. And
along with Matthew Slater.
Never know. The Jets could make a late season run like they always do, and they're going to have to if they want to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I just like – I like the way Flacco's been playing lately. He's been making a lot of stick throws and pressure situations. I'm not saying he's a Super Bowl quarterback, but I think the combination of a good defense and a solid running game might be able to do the trick for Baltimore this season.
True enough. It'll be interesting to see as the week's gone, because you have Pittsburgh in there looking really good, and then all of a sudden a high ankle sprain throws everything out the window. Well, guys, that's the end of the show. 2 hours commercial free. We did it again. Hopefully we'll see all of you back here next week, coming off playoff victories. Until then, for the Reverend, I am Rostradamus. We'll see you next week. Later.